Hi, welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne here with Kirk, our General Manager of Unique Training and Development, for another Leader Feeder episode. And today we are talking about effective leadership and the impact it has on performance.
So, Kirk,
to start us off today, I wanted to talk about the core qualities. Now, don't just list off my leadership traits, you know,
how great I am.
But I was wondering if you have a list of core qualities or leadership traits that contribute to success when we talk about effective leadership.
That's a bit of a tough question because, I mean, I think you could argue there's lots of different leadership traits that contribute to good leadership. But I think if I were to pinpoint a couple, I mean, we talk about communication a lot, and I think it's interesting because in our frontline leadership program, so many things come back to communication. Whether you're talking about winning the day, where we're talking about alignment in terms of what it takes for your team or your department to decide what a win looks like and then communicating that, whether it's talking about being able to give constructive feedback, a lot of that about is about winning, or pardon me, about communicating. I think a lot of it comes back to strong communication skills. I think another thing is probably the idea of giving feedback. I think feedback is something we tend to be a little bit afraid of. It's something we're not particularly good at. And so when it comes to your ability to give feedback as a leader, it's really pivotal because you need to be able to not only provide feedback, but preferably provide it in the moment when it's needed before it becomes a bigger issue. So I think communication is a big one. I think your ability to give constructive feedback effectively is a big one. And then the other two big ones that I would say, you know, the owner of Unique Training and Development, Greg Schinkel, when I first started, he mentioned me these two things. He said, I think the two biggest traits above all are self-awareness and curiosity. And he said, I think it's self-awareness because self-awareness is the thing that as a leader makes you go, how good am I as a leader? Do my people like my leadership approach? Am I effective as a leader? And it also makes you kind of want to strive to be better because you kind of know what you need to work on. And then curiosity is the part that goes, okay, I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. Curiosity is the part that then makes you say, how do I get better at the things I'm not as good at? And really, I think everything comes from there. So then whether it's I need to get better at communication, giving constructive feedback, managing conflict, whatever it might be, all of it kind of comes from that sense of having a self-awareness of where your strengths and weaknesses are, and then the curiosity of wanting to learn to get better.
Okay, yeah. So are those also maybe considered like strategic approaches? Or, I mean, when leaders are listening to this conversation and you point out that these are core qualities, maybe they don't possess, you know, maybe our listeners aren't great at communicating. Is there like a strategic approach that you can take to get better at that? I mean, I know we of course offer these training programs and things like that, but is there something that they can do while they are at work to maybe, like you said, make them aware as another core strength, right? Like that they aren't communicating well, or is there a strategic approach that they can take to communication to become better at it?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I would say is asking, right? Ask for input, ask for feedback. So go to your team and get their feedback. Now that's a little scary sounding, a little tricky. You know, if you're my direct report, I go up and go, hey, Suzanne, what do you not like about me as a leader? That can sound like a scary prospect
for
sure.
Could trip because a few people up.
It could, because that direct report might feel like, is this a trap? What's going on here?
Right.
But I think there's a way to ask about it in a way, hey, I'm trying to be the best leader that I can. I'm trying to be aware of what I'm already good at, but also what I need to work on. And that's where I think the conversation then comes in to say, what could I do better as your leader? How could I help you even more? And so I think that's the way you go about it. And then I think you do the same thing, not just to your direct reports, but also to your own manager and say, hey, what have you noticed as a manager yourself I could improve on in how I communicate with my team, maybe how I fix problems, manage conflict, get work done, whatever it might be. What do you think I can do? So I think the first thing is simply ask for input, right? Because you got to have that your direct reports are the ones that are having to deal with your leadership style and your leadership abilities or inabilities. So why not ask the people that see it day in and day out and say, hey, what can I do to be a better leader? That would be my first piece of advice, my first step.
Yeah, now you said you'd ask for feedback, things like that, right? I think of a survey because you had mentioned before that that can be tricky to like go ask people, you know, because again, I also don't know if you'd get true feedback, if that makes sense. Or like, you know, someone might be hesitant to tell their boss, I don't think you're a great communicator, or I don't think you're awesome at giving feedback yourself. So maybe they're not quite as open, right? So
and
maybe
I think
a
you'd
survey
find,
would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think you could. I think it's both, right? Because I think you want to give people the chance to have that face-to-face conversation. If I always just say, oh, here's the link to our anonymous survey, please fill it out twice a year.
Who's going
to
do it?
Well, but I think people will do it, but I also think that it doesn't allow the room to open up and say, how can I be a better leader for you specifically? Because one thing we can do with surveys, it can be both a good thing and a bad thing, but if the survey comes back and it says, you know, oh, well, you know, 8 out of my 9 team members think I'm an excellent leader and, you know, I have nothing to work on, then what can happen is that sense of the majority where, well, most people think I'm great,
so
I don't need
enough
to work, so it's good enough. Or, oh, well, that one person must be a disgruntled employee. And that's not always the case. That one employee could just be someone who's maybe had leadership experience themselves, perhaps. So they're just thinking very insightfully, oh, this would make you better. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the danger of a survey, or only doing a survey, I should say, is that you run the risk of kind of looking at it and, like you said, saying it's good enough, or, oh, well, only one or two people aren't happy with my leadership style, so I don't need to change. Mm-hmm. So that's the first part. And then I think the second part is the ability to sit down with someone and say, I want you to know that I want to be the best leader that I can for you. I'm trying to make sure that you have what you need. What is that for you? Because the other part is people might not disclose something on a survey if it is anonymous, because they might go, well, I need you to talk to me differently. And if I just put that on the report, or rather on the survey, pardon me, you might start talking differently to your whole team when it's only one person that needs that, right?
Right.
So there are certain issues which I think you have to deal with on a person-by-person basis. And if you just always give out, you know, an anonymous survey, you're going to look at this really great feedback and go, I have no idea who it applies to, but I certainly don't want to apply that to everybody. So I think it's a mix. Something like a survey is really, really good, but then I also think it needs to be followed up with, you know, one-on-ones to say, hey, this is some of the feedback I got. I'd love to know some specifics about how you and I can have a better working relationship. How can I be a better leader, not just to my team, because that's kind of what the survey tells us, but how can I be a better leader to you specifically? What can I do to be, you know, more effective?
Mm-hmm. And do you think like these one-on-one conversations or even the surveys, but I think more the one-on-one conversations that you have with your employees, like that would boost employee morale, maybe even productivity or quality of work, do you think?
I think so. Well, here's what I think. It's not just a one-way conversation. If you're sitting down and having this one-on-one, I don't think you should set it up as, I want to do on one-on-one on just how I can be a better leader. It's how can we make a stronger working relationship? How can we improve how we get things done around here and how people feel about getting that work done? So I don't see it as a one-way conversation of, I only want to know how I can be a better leader. It's basically how we can both be better workers, if you will, and my part of my work is to lead you, and part of your work is to get the work done. Right, so it's really not a one-way conversation, it's a two-way conversation. And so what's great about that is it's not kind of, I'm just gonna tell you all the things that aren't good about you as a leader, and you're kind of left going, oh man, you know, because to your point of it can be a little bit awkward to ask people for feedback, and you may not get sincere feedback. I think you're right, there are cases where someone's gonna go, no, everything's great, it's all good. And they're actually sitting there seething going, oh my gosh. But I honestly think if you're sitting down with your staff in an open, supportive way saying, I wanna be the best leader I can, how can I do that? And they're not going to give you even remotely honest feedback, then I think that falls on them a little bit. And so there has to be a little bit of give and take. I get that someone might feel nervous. I get that someone might feel, especially if it's the first time you're ever really asking for feedback in that way. Mm-hmm. I get that it can feel a little bit awkward and a bit difficult. But I think if you're making the effort to ask them, then you're already taking that first step. And subsequent meetings, I think that consistency of continually saying, I want to be a better leader, what can I do? Eventually, even if they were hesitant at first, I think they're going to go, oh, they're actually serious about this, especially when they see the feedback that they give get implemented, right? Mm-hmm. So if they give feedback that, hey, I sometimes feel like you're not telling us stuff early enough. I feel like we find out things maybe a little bit at the last minute. I'd appreciate a bit more info earlier on. If you then follow through with that, then they're far more likely to probably give you more honest and even more feedback next time, because they're going, oh, they actually took what I said and applied it, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking about, you know, giving feedback, and I thought, what if, it's funny because I look at you and when I hear you talk, I think of all these things that we practice and I think, oh yeah, if Kirk sat down with me and asked me, you know, certain questions, I'd feel very open and honest to answer any questions that you had.
Yeah.
But what if I'm thinking, what if you were an abrasive leader?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you sat down with me and said, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I would react. Yeah. So I almost think, like, I almost start thinking, should an abrasive leader, or, I mean, maybe you don't know yet, or what, maybe a different approach to start, maybe not just quite the one-on-ones. I just kind of think, or maybe, like you said, it would just be a shock to, I think, the team's systems if they're, you know, outraged boss always, you know,
suddenly is asking for feedback.
All of a sudden is asking for feedback. Yeah. So I'm not sure if, you know, becoming, if you are one of those leaders, maybe just becoming more open and to accepting feedback or, you know, trying
Which is easier said than done, right?
Of course.
I think the challenge is, I think you're right. You hit on a good point, which is if you're typically abrasive leader suddenly goes, what can I do to be a better leader?
Right?
That could scare the heck out of you.
Absolutely.
However, I think the big piece there that makes it, a bit safer for them is how the leader responds, right? Because the frustrating thing is when you're asked for feedback, you give the feedback, and then the response is defensiveness. Well, this is why we do it that way, or this is why it has to happen that way. Because then the person starts to feel like, why did you ask me for feedback? If every piece of feedback I was going to give you, you were going to have an excuse for, or, you know, a defense for. Instead, you listen to the feedback and you go, okay, appreciate that. Okay, I can think about that more. You're not committing to, you know, making every change they want you to make, but you're just saying, I'll take that under consideration. I'll think about that. Let me see what I can do about that. And I think, so the trick for an abrasive leader, I don't even think it's so much asking for feedback, because I think even an abrasive leader could eventually realize, I need to become a better leader. I need to ask for feedback. Mm. I think the trickier part for probably an abrasive leader is listening to the feedback and not immediately getting defensive or aggressive or kind of going, oh, you're ungrateful, or, oh, you're, you know, instead listening and going, thanks for sharing that feedback with me. And what I would share for anybody that's in that boat where they're going, I know I'm a bit of an abrasive leader, but I want to get better. My line that I would share with you is be curious, not furious. Mm. Ask questions. Be curious. Think about, why are they saying this feedback? What does it mean to them? Why do I not do this thing that they currently want me to do? Just ask lots of questions. As opposed to reacting with anger or frustration, be curious, not furious. Ask questions. And you're going to get people opening up a lot more than if you respond with anger, frustration, defensiveness, or whatever it might be. So that would be my suggestion. And I think that helps open the door to those abrasive leaders, listening and going, okay, I needed to hear that. And then they can act on it. They can decide which pieces it makes sense to act on or not. And then again, it creates that virtuous cycle. The abrasive leader asks for feedback, gets the feedback, receives it in an open way that is not just defensiveness, but is, oh, thanks for sharing that. Changes as a result of it, becomes less abrasive. Normally that would be probably part of the feedback, right? And you just start to see this really great virtuous cycle where they become a stronger, better leader because they've taken that feedback, they've accepted it, and they've learned and improved because of it.
Mm-hmm. That's a great tip. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy that because that's a really good tip. I am going to derail just for a second here because I was reading something the other day and I didn't quite understand what it meant or what these two things were. So I was hoping maybe you could clarify.
I'll do my best.
My question was, I was reading about transformational and transactional leadership theories. And they were it was about this topic about, you know, leadership perform or the effective leadership on performance and things like that. Mm-hmm. So do you know or can you help explain to the listeners and myself what the difference is between transactional and transformational leadership?
Well, sure. I mean, I'm not certainly not an expert on the topic at all, but I guess I would say that in my own understanding of it, transactional leadership is more just about getting the work done, getting the task done, seeing it through, fulfilling the quota, whatever it might be, producing a certain amount of volume. In my mind, transformational leadership is not just about getting the work done, but actually having a positive impact on the people doing the work as well. So it's about developing the people as well. So instead of just caring about, did we get to check that box off because we got, you know, we reached our quota or whatever it might be, it's also, did I help people learn? So for example, if there was an issue throughout the day, did I just solve the problem so that we could get the work done? Or did I sit down and say, Suzanne, what would you do in this situation? So that I could build your leadership skills as well and your problem solving ability as someone on my team.
And that one's transformational?
Transformational, I think of transforming the team.
Oh,
transactional is the transaction of kind of just being the leader in order to get the work done, right? So I just kind of tell you what you need to know or whatnot just to get the work done. And when I think of transformational, it's really about transforming the team into a group of you know, superhumans, like getting the, you know, being even better people than who we were when we started. Okay. So again, I'm not an expert on it. I may be sort of getting that a little bit wrong, but my understanding is that really transformational leadership is really about, again, thinking about the people that are doing those tasks, making them better leaders, operators, mm-hmm. problem solvers, collaborators than they were before we started. And whereas that transactional is more just about just be the leader in order to get the work done.
Okay, great. Thanks for clarifying. Yeah, it's funny because I actually read things and I feel like I don't understand them. And then when I ask you, I feel like it's almost like I need to hear things in order to like really grasp
that's how we learn.
The essence of it, right?
Hey, that's why in our leadership training programs, we do build in repetition because we know that it's great to read about something initially or hear something explained one time. But in a lot of cases, you need to hear it. You know, you need to hear it explained. You then need to see it in action. You then need to try it yourself. Like that repetition is a really important piece to learning. And, you know, when we talk about kind of performance in manufacturing, things take time to get good, right? If we're talking about, we don't want to go from here to here overnight. And not only do we not want to, but we can't, right? We need to slowly get there. And so it's about, are we making constant, consistent gains? That's really what we need to look at when we talk about manufacturing or any sort of performance and measurement of that.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned about, even in our program, about effective leadership and things like that, that performance takes time to build, which is great. Are there any other benefits from our leadership programs besides just increasing performance that you know our listeners will gain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we try to promise three things in our leadership training programs, right? We try to promise... we try to promise that the people themselves will become kind of better leaders, better humans, as it were. So the people in the training, the leaders themselves, are just better leaders, better people. We talk about how it will affect the people on their team, right? We talk about you will actually hopefully create happier humans that actually go home and are not just, again, not just happier employees, but happier humans because you've improved their engagement, their motivation. You've made them feel valuable. You've empowered them. That just makes you feel better as a person. And as much as we'd like to believe that sort of older mentality, I think we'd say it's a bit of a vintage mentality of leave your emotional baggage at the door, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to work, you leave that crap at home and that doesn't work. That doesn't exist. We don't have two different brains where we can take our work brain and put it on and take our home brain out. Right. So if we're having problems at work, we take those home to our family and our friends and our children, right? And so if we can be better leaders, we can create usually better, happier employees, which then permeates into all areas of their life. And then the third part is we create stronger, better performing organizations that improve their ROI thanks to our training. So I think that it's all three of those things are the benefits. We create better performing organizations. We create better leaders, right, who can lead their teams more effectively and feel more confident in doing so, so less stress, which is great. And they empower and kind of delight their teams by making their teams' lives, their employees' lives a little bit easier, which is always a good thing.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, thanks. One thing that you had mentioned in there was at the second part about leaving that vintage, mentality at the door, which you're right. That is, I feel like, a trend.
That's old school. Yeah.
That is leaving the manufacturing industry. At least that's what we're trying to push it out anyways. Do you see any other future trends in leadership for manufacturing?
Ooh. Oh, good question. I think I see a lot of different things. I think we're moving into more, I think we're seeing, as we've talked about in previous episodes, more of a blended approach where we're moving from just in-person to more in-person and virtual or in-person and on-demand or virtual on-demand. So lots of blended learning, which is cool. What else do I think? I think we'll start to see, I'm not sure yet, but we'll see AI get in here in some way. I'm not sure exactly how it will apply to I'm not sure how it will apply to leadership development yet, but you're starting to see those initial sort of blossomings out there. So I think we'll see more of that as well. That'll be a big thing in the next, I think, 10 to 15 years, maybe. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think we'll start to see.
Cool. Yeah. Great. Well, thanks so much, Kirk, for chatting today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
And thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us today on another Leader Feeder episode. Stay tuned for some more engaging topics.